Hello and welcome to Charlie Foxtrot. We are a Stargate Universe podcast. I'm Cetra.
And I'm Boom.
And it's been a very long while.
It has, but your job sucks. So
it does that for sure. Not as much as Rush's though.
Rush kind of brings onto himself how awful his job is this episode.
The argument could be made that to some extent I do the same.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But you're just a good worker.
Yeah. Oy vey. So, we are up to episode 18, Subversion.
Yep.
And
I like the previously for it, because it's basically the Telford is a dick storyline. Like, that's what the previouslys are totally dedicated to.
It's very specifically, like, here's every time Telford has been an ass. Which is, like, as they're sitting there and, like, later on, like, Young is trying to convince O'Neill that maybe Rush is the mole and, right. like, all this stuff. And I'm like, but the intro told us that Telford's a dick.
Right.
It didn't show us how shifty Rush was.
That's true. Well, I guess it's because all the other episodes in the previouslys have been dedicated to how shifty Rush looks.
You're not wrong.
But it's hard for Rush to look shifty here because isn't like the first scene is on him and he's sleeping. Maybe that's the only time he doesn't look shifty.
Yeah. Oh, poor Rush. Anyway.
I think it's really interesting that he's sleeping, he's having like these visions and stuff. And first of all, I have to say, I love that the blood stain is on his shirt. Thank you, continuity.
Oh, yeah. That is one thing they tend to be really good with in this show is like how Rush's glasses were just gone.
Right. And then they came back.
You may not even have noticed that he used to have glasses and then didn't. And then 3 weeks later, you're like, the man hasn't had his glasses all this time.
And then you're like, oh yeah. I mean, he bled in his shirt and he has not washed it. Duh.
Yeah. How could he? He only has one shirt.
Yeah. But what's interesting though about the scene, other than the awesome bloodstain continuity, is after he has his nightmare and drinks his water, he immediately goes to Young. Like, they're friends or something.
Yeah. Well, like, this is an important thing that he's actually concerned about.
Right.
Though there is that moment again where it's like, well, it also gives him a one-up on Telford, a way to, like, get Telford out of the picture, which is something he's interested in. So.
Yeah. But there's no way for him to get out of that. He famously hates Telford. He famously wants to one-up Telford. Yeah. So I think there's no way for him to present himself. Though I do love that Young is like, oh, Rush, you're coming to me about dreams. Everybody thinks they have interesting dreams. Dreams are boring.
Yeah. And Rush is like, well, mine actually is a problem.
Right. But Young immediately thinks that Rush dreamt that he was a spy. Like, Young listens to this and he goes, oh, so you're a spy, you just don't know it. This confirms everything I ever knew.
Yeah. Oh, so you dreamed you were a spy and leaked all this info. And Rush is like, no! Fuck you.
It's like, what did he expect for that conversation? But I think it's also Rush actually trying to do the open communication thing.
It's Rush distinctly trying not to be shifty.
And still seeming fucking shifty.
As per usual. Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame for Young for being slightly suspicious, especially with his history with Rush.
Yeah. But, I mean, and as much as, you know, Rush is, of course, going to jump on the chance to get Telford potentially, you know, out of the picture or get something over on him, Young is going to do the same thing about Rush because Young has never trusted Rush.
Well, this is a whole win-win situation for Young, though, because he's like, ugh, shut up, Rush. Oh, wait, Telford. I will believe you if you blame Telford.
Yeah.
And if you're wrong, I get to blame you too.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, Young can't lose this episode, which is great.
Which is great, except for he kind of, I don't know. I feel
he
like
still,
he might.
I mean, he gets real sketchy on some sorts of things.
Yeah, he does. But we'll get to those. But Young does the right thing and talks to Matt and is like, hey, do you remember being a spy or do you just remember sleeping with my wife?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess, no, that's not what Matt remembers. He just remembers having dinner with his wife.
Yes, but he remembers her, like, laughing and being happy, which anyway, who knows?
Well, it's weird, though. Like, so we discussed that when Matt had this dream slash vision, it's really weird that Young just assumed that that actually happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Rush comes in and he's like, oh, I dreamt I was Telford. And Young is like, I better ask Matt.
Yeah, I better double, triple concern. Well, because the implication is that Young believes Scott to be incapable of lying to him.
Well, I mean, he's not wrong, though, is he?
Yeah, no, I mean, he's basically right.
Right.
But, so, you know, he is a good judge of character in that way. Like, he knows that if Matt tried to dissemble, it would not work.
Yeah. I like, though, this scene shows that Matt is actually seeing that Young is coming a little unhinged. Because in the end, Matt obviously warns Young that you shouldn't stop trusting people. Like, trust is important. And Young totally takes it as, you know, okay, Matt, you're right. I shouldn't trust people.
Yeah. Which is odd.
But it's just still cool that, like, you know, Matt really does look up to Young, but he's at this point going, like, I don't know what you want from me.
Yeah.
Like, and why are you being so suspicious of Telford? And, like, you know, he had to protect his cover. That's why he let those people die.
Well, and later on, like, it's obvious that Matt is kind of turning a corner on Young a little bit in terms of, like, not seeing him as the, you know, shining pinnacle of commanding officer.
Right.
That he's obviously held him as up to this point. Like, he's so loyal.
I would have loved if they kept that dynamic through the next season. I don't know why they didn't, because that's way more interesting than Rush and Young at this point. Because Rush and Young, we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, Rush and Young's conflict is that they don't know how to communicate with one another.
Yeah, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. On and on and on.
Forever. Basically, until they get in a fight on an Ursini ship.
Yeah.
And then you think they're all better, and at the end, Young is like, I don't trust Rush to stay behind. Eli, you're responsible. Eli's not responsible.
Eli, you're young and probably have 20 years longer to suffer alone in the darkness of space than Rush does. stay here. Die alone while the rest of us die in our sleep.
Hooray!
Yay.
We're getting ahead of ourselves. So Eli comes in, he's really excited to tell Young about something, and Young dismisses him, so you know.
Oh, yeah. And Eli has this moment of, like, wait, like, you two have secrets now? Like,
yeah, he's
what
not
the
happy
fuck?
About that.
Because this is such a turn for Eli. It's like Rush telling him things, and then Young telling him things, and then Rush telling him things, and now they're telling each other things.
He's like, what about me?
he's the other woman now.
I think it's mostly that he doesn't like secrets.
Well, yeah, that too. And he knows that both of them are way too good at keeping and fucking things up based on secrets, too. So.
Exactly. Too bad Eli doesn't have a whole lot to do in this episode, but that's okay. Brody's in it.
There's some good Brody.
Yeah.
There's some good Ray, too. She's gotten an extra shirt, which is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm usually more excited about other things, but yeah.
Sorry.
She's out of her cast pretty quick, so this must be pretty long after.
Yeah, it must have been a fair amount of time.
Yeah.
Though I'm not sure, like, at which point Telford switched with Rush that Rush had those visions.
Yeah, I don't know. When did Rush and Telford switch?
So now we're going to look like idiots.
Yeah, we are.
Because obviously it happened. It was probably pretty recently. Can we take a moment? Like, we only see Lou Diamond Phillips in Rush's, you know, in Rush's clothes, basically.
Right.
But how insane must it make Telford, who's used to this incredibly short military haircut, to have Rush's hair all over everywhere?
He's, like, flipping it around like Fabio.
Yeah, like, I can't imagine.
I would love if we had Telford as Telford, but Lou Diamond Phillips having to, like, constantly flip his head, but we can't see it, we can't see Rush's hair.
Oh, that would be so weird and kind of vaguely awesome.
Right, like, bringing his hand up constantly and pushing back something.
Yeah, the constant, like, AJ Styles hair push, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
it would look super
that.
Weird, and no one would understand it but me, but...
Yeah. Can we talk about how I really dislike the fact that Young is still hiding things from Ray?
Yeah.
She has still done nothing to prove to him that she deserves... Well, that's not true. I guess she did do the coup. But well, deservedly yeah. so.
But here's the thing. It's like, here's the thing. I think the reasoning with Young. Rush did the coup, and Rush is unrepentant about it, right? He's like, yep, I did it because I thought it was a better idea than what was happening. And then it didn't work, and I kept everyone alive as best I could. Ray did the coup and then immediately backpedaled.
Mm-hmm.
Which to Young is actually less respectable.
I guess.
Right? Like, she's trying to do the nice thing and apologize to everybody and prove that, you know, she regrets it a little bit, but not that much because it was still the right thing to do at the time.
Right.
But
Young just saw it as duplicitous.
I think Young is...
That's not duplicitous. That's understanding the situation.
For some reason, I'm thinking it feels very Klingon. Like, Young is sort of like, you should say what you do, what you want to, and mean what you say, and, like, you did a thing. Own up to it.
Well, if that's what he thinks, he's a hypocrite.
Well, obviously. Wait, we have issues with Young's motivation?
Damn it, I'm trying to not be mean to Young.
Well, this is an episode where he needs some being mean to. Because, well, he starts off sort of on the moral high ground.
Yeah.
He goes off the freaking deep end by the end.
He just jumps off that. Every time he's on moral high ground, he's like, woohoo!
He's like, oh, I did a good thing. Time to go fuck shit up.
The reason why she did the coup in the first place is because he wasn't giving her information.
Yeah.
After the coup, he didn't give her information, and she's like, this is why I couped you.
Yeah.
And now he's still doing it. Like, and then it causes huge problems.
Yeah, and he's not sharing power. He's not sharing decision-making. All the same stuff that were always a problem in the first place.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Telford appears...
Yep, Telford appears, immediately realizes that something is off, and Matt gives him a perfectly reasonable story, like, Rush needed to consult with people on Earth, and Telford immediately goes, you're a terrible liar.
Telford has no reason to be suspicious. He's really fucking the pooch here.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the first time I watched this feeling like, oh, yeah, Telford is obviously the mole because he's acting shifty as fuck.
Well, I mean, like, he was the mole, and he knew he was the mole.
Well, yeah, but they didn't, like, he's been so good up until now.
Right, he should have.
Why is, like, he doesn't know that this is the episode he gets found out in.
Right.
He's been just excited to be on Destiny every other time he's been on Destiny.
I mean, I feel like we could have, like, a scene of just his face that no one else sees where it obviously looks like he's suspicious. But, like, Telford wouldn't, I mean, if he's that good of a spy and that good of a double agent... Why would he be suspicious immediately?
Yeah.
It doesn't wash.
I mean, the only thing I can think is because Matt and Greer are both there.
Uh-huh.
But actually, you know what? Hmm. Matt and Greer are both there, and there's not a civilian there monitoring the stones.
Still, Telford has no real reason to be suspicious. And if he is, he should. If he's a good spy, he would keep it to himself, like Rush does later on.
So what I'm learning is Telford's not actually that good of a spy.
Oh, he's the worst.
Except then, like, Kiva talks later, like, oh, Colonel Telford would never have made this mistake. I'm like, fuck you, he's clearly awful at this game.
Right? Like, who knows how he got away with everything else. So I guess Telford leaves wearing Rush's clothing, which is really funny looking to me. I don't know why. He just doesn't fit in those clothes. But then again, seeing Rush wander around in, like, flannel
is
funny.
Well, and... Oddly, like, so most people, when they use the stones, they stay in their clothes. Telford immediately asks for fatigues.
Oh, I see what you mean. Because there's, like, Phil Fry, who's like, I don't like what Eli's wearing, someone get me at least a jacket.
Yeah, only assholes ask for their clothes to be changed.
That's true.
And they humor him, too, which I'm like, why? Like, you have limited resources on this ship. Rush doesn't own these clothes. Like, why should...
And Rush doesn't fit in any of the fatigues. Haven't you seen him off planet?
Yeah, he looks... Yeah. They're all a little bit too big.
He's adorably like a toddler swimming in his parents' clothing.
Yeah, poor Rush. And he even, like, as he's storming around Earth looking like, you know, wearing Telford's uniform, he looks a little ridiculous.
Well, he changes into Telford's, like, flannel and... khaki shit.
Yeah. After his initial, like, when he sneaks away from his guard person.
Rush, scientist that can do everything, including espionage.
Yeah.
Well, along with Jackson, also a scientist.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, I mentioned that this was our episode to Cal, and she's like, oh, is that the one where Daniel Jackson tries to be a spy? And I'm like, yeah.
So the one where,
because Young goes to...
They have a whole base full of professionals. Why would they send Daniel Jackson?
Because Young goes to O'Neill, and Vary on the down low asks for a tail for Rush, and who's O'Neill going to send when he needs someone he can trust implicitly?
Carter, who actually has military training.
Carter is actually on a spaceship.
Oh, that's true. Ben Browder's character, whose name is escaping.
Oh, well, maybe.
Cameron Mitchell.
But he's not even in this show.
Yeah, he is. He's on Stargate.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in-universe, though.
I would love to see Cameron Mitchell and Rush talk.
Yeah, well, okay. Dear Stargate writers, you done fucked up. Bring in Mitchell, please.
You know what, the episode where they have to go, like, off-planet and try and, like, take someone else's, like, really energy resource-rich planet. I would have loved it that was Mitchell instead of McKay.
Oh, yes.
And then Brown Browder could have had work.
I wonder if he's doing other stuff, and that's why...
No. I once interviewed him, and I had to not post the interview because it was too sad, and he just kept talking about how he wanted a job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, because, like, Farscape... I hate to say this, but John Crichton and Cameron Mitchell are, like, essentially the same character. And I've seen him in some other stuff, and he's really good as that sort of John Crichton, Cameron Mitchell character.
Yeah.
He's not great in anything else. He was in Doctor Who as a cowboy.
Okay.
And that wasn't great, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
But he's such a wonderful human that I don't want to say things like that. He's so fucking funny. Like, he's smart as a whip.
Yeah. I wonder if that just means that, like, acting... Well, or if he just gets typecast into that. Like, it's very hard for actors to get... sometimes you get into that character, right? Like,
right.
Nathan Fillion had that character.
Right.
And then... he has been Castle for so long that he's incapable of not being, like,
right.
Nathan Fillion as.
You know what, though? Like, I do not look down on an actor if they've been typecast. If they do a thing well, they should do the thing well.
Yeah.
And I would never be embarrassed that, oh, I just always get cast as the super happy girl. I don't get cast as anything because I suck at acting. But... Anyways, Ben Browder aside.
but then you have, I don't know. Anyways, yeah. Actors that could be doing more with themselves that sometimes end up stuck in that trap.
Every actor in Stargate should be doing more. I mean, obviously Brian Smith is.
Yeah.
But everyone else is so talented on that show, and I don't understand why. Like, why don't I see Luis Ferreira on anything?
Yeah.
He's good. Like, at the end of this episode, when he's just staring... blank-faced at Telford dying.
Oh, yeah.
Holy fuck.
Well, no, and then other stuff that he's done since this is, like, an episode of Criminal Minds.
Oh, I don't watch Criminal Minds. Episodes.
Yeah, he's in it once. He even has a wife who dies. And I'm like, no, Emily!
Was he good in that?
He is. He's much, good. Like, he's less depressed than Young.
Oh,
which is odd because he's in this horrible serial killer situation.
Oh, okay, yeah, actually that could be worse.
But, yeah.
Well, anyways, I do want to say, we know how we complained about with communication stones that we felt that there was no authentication process?
Yes.
Finally, episode 18, Young authenticates who he is.
Oh, yeah! I had a note about that. I was like, yes! Actual clearance codes, proof!
I really love that he's in an IT outfit. Like, he looks so like my dad.
Well, yeah, because the like, number one person on the stones was Telford, and then Telford got pulled. So this is, like, the B guy.
Right? Like, the guy who's not really expected to ever get pulled.
Yeah.
He's just sitting in a room. No one knows why. Well, next is baby shower for TJ.
Yeah, and she gets so many cute things.
Yeah.
Like, it's weirdly, like, sad, but...
It, It's like they're trying to be so joyous.
Really sweet. Yeah.
But TJ, I mean, it's like she appreciates the gestures, but it's almost like hitting home how bad it is. Like, just how shitty the presents are.
Yeah.
But obviously she can't expect more, but, like, it's almost like this thing that's supposed to make her feel better actually made her feel worse.
Yeah, and I mean, we know already, right, that TJ thinks a lot about this, about how in the hell she's going to raise a child in this place that they live, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It's super bad. Oh, Volker takes Eli aside, and Brody's there.
Yeah, Volker and Brody are both like, Eli, things happened. Rush is doing stuff. You must know something.
Yeah. And they also look suspicious as fuck, because they're the worst.
Yeah.
But they're much better at sounding natural when Telford and Ray walks by.
Yeah.
Than they were when, you know, the coup was happening and TJ was in the room.
Yeah, we have the rest of the O'Neill Young conversation happens.
Yeah.
Jack O'Neill drops his entire tea bag into his cup, like, with the little tag part and everything.
That's a very specific thing to notice.
Well, anyway, he also then, like, he tries to reach in after it, and it's obvious there's not a lot of liquid in the cup, and then he does it. It's clear, like, they were just messing around, and then that ended up being the take that they used.
They're like, they liked that acting the most.
I guess. Anyway, so just like Young told O'Neill that he would, Rush ditches his handler immediately.
I think O'Neill's being really reasonable in this conversation, though. He's like, why would Rush frame Telford? That makes zero sense.
Yeah, no, because Young is, like, the straight man in this weird comedy of errors that's going on Destiny, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's dad. And Young comes and goes, Dad, Rush pulled my hair and messed up my ship. And then Rush comes and goes, Young is insane. He's trying to take all my power. Like, back and forth and back and forth for months.
And he's just done with it.
Yeah. And here he is like, okay, now you think he's a spy, but he thinks Telford's a spy? Like, children, go play your game somewhere else. I don't have time.
Right.
But fine, Daniel, go follow him. Which is probably why he sent Daniel, because he doesn't really think it's anything that's going to happen.
Daniel with, like, this super high-grade camera that, like, that I'm surprised he knows how to use at all.
Yeah, it's not really anthropologist-historian-type equipment or behavior that he's running around.
And he doesn't look, like, I mean, he looks suspicious as fuck.
Yeah.
I wrote in capital letters, what is Daniel tailing him? What training does he have? So Rush goes to Telford's house and does the non-suspicious thing of kicking in a window.
Oh, yeah. Kicking in a window at his own home, rustling through his own office.
I guess if it's him, no one, people will be like, oh, I guess Telford broke into his own house. Like, there's no reason for people to be suspicious.
So?
I'm disturbed that Telford has so much paperwork at his house. It seems like a security risk, which I'm now realizing is a silly thing to say when we know he's the mole. But
yeah.
I'm pretty sure most paperwork is not allowed to go off base.
That's very true.
Cops can barely bring cases home with them. Actually, I think they can't at all.
Yeah, like they're not supposed to. At least according to all the TV shows, you're always being a little bit of a renegade when you have files at home.
Right. Well, I was like, I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine talks about how Jake Peralta almost gets in trouble because he brought a ton of cases home. And so he has to, like, sneak them back into the office. But anyways, Rush thinks really hard about where someone might hide things.
Yeah.
And then looks in the
sees
a candle votive.
I really wanted the 314, like, the lockbox number to be something to do with pie and with math.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think, I'm sure the writers were just like, pie.
Yeah, what's a good number? 314, that's fine.
Cool, we're doing that. I wanted it to be related to Gloria so we could think it was all a dream.
Oh.
No,
see, that would have been super cool, too. Make us believe just for a minute that maybe all of this was still happening in Rush's head.
Right.
Like, because we've seen that once, like, this very realistic simulation. That would have been cool, too.
That would have been super cool.
Yep.
Well, anyways.
So Young interrupts Ray and Telford having a powwow.
It's just, like, the more he does, the more suspicious he makes her. Like, what it...
Well, and he tries, as he's leaving, he tries to give her this, like, half-slight smile, and I'm like, you look way creepier, dude.
See, I wrote that he looks so smug.
Oh. And it's like a smug smile.
Right? And I'm like, well, no wonder she's working at cross purposes to you.
Yeah.
She's in control of the civilians on this ship, and you keep doing military dictatorship stuff. Like, you're not the Praetorian Guard. Like, give it up.
Yeah.
Rush finds a flip phone in the bank.
Yeah.
Was flip phones a thing in 2010? I can't remember a time before smartphones anymore.
I had a phone that was less fancy than that in 2010.
I think, and well, yeah, but so. That's a given with
well,
you.
Well, plus it's obviously a burner cell, and yes, yeah. Among like the pay by the, you know,
well,
pay
that,
by the minute
absolutely.
Burner cells, that's definitely, it's that's a nice true. Looking phone for that.
That I'm thinking about, I think I had a flip phone in 2009. I think I still had my Razr, because I got my Razr in 2007 when those were all the rage. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He did change clothes at Telford's house, so there's that.
So he went through Telford's clothing.
Yeah, because that's not weird. Shirt. Like, go through another man's shit, put on his clothes.
I want to know, because he sets up the meeting as Telford. Does he have a Scottish accent when he's calling them?
Well, in this we don't know, right? Right. We're not sure if accent... And if he does not have a Scottish accent while he's calling them, then right. Telford must have a Scottish accent while he's drinking with Young.
I know. I was so desperate to have LDP have a Scottish accent. I would have loved that so much.
That would have been... Well, or to hear Robert Carlyle, like, fake American...
Yeah,
like
I would have loved it.
That would have been very interesting.
Oh, I would have loved it so much. So, yeah, Young is... Oh, wait. Oh, the black fan picks him up. And then Young and Telford go drink.
Yeah, Young and Telford drink. Presumably he threw everyone out of Brody's bar also. because they're just drinking together in the darkness.
That's true. Poor Brody. Getting kicked out of everywhere, having to do all sorts of things. One of my favorite things in the commentary, by the way, because Patrick Gilmore, who plays Volker, was in the commentary, and he was very clear. He's like, Brody is Rush's man. Like, Brody is always on Rush's side and will always be. So at the end, when he's listening to Young, it's like a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I'm not the only one who was like, oh my god. Brody listened to Rush. I mean, sorry.
Well, because
Brody listened to Young.
You have these core three guys on the science team, and I don't want to exclude Lisa, but she kind of has her own specialties.
Yeah.
You have Eli, who vacillates back and forth between them, but is primarily Young's side.
Right.
You have Brody, who's always Rush's side.
Right.
And then you have Volker, who's kind of in the middle of like, well, why don't we do the science?
Hey guys, I just want to make a suggestion.
Actually, no, I will include Lisa, because Volker is the, like, pessimist focus on the science, and Lisa is the optimist focus on the science.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love the science team so much.
The van stops at the beginning of Dear Esther.
What?
The van stops at this weird, like, broken-down dock kind of place, and it looks very much like the dock at the beginning of a video game called Dear Esther. At least it looks like it in my head. But,
okay.
How subtle are these guys? We're the Lucian Alliance. We drive around an unmarked black panel van and pick dudes up off the street.
It looks like Rush got picked up by a pedophile.
Yeah, or like the most obviously we are spies picking up a guy. Like, in what situation in the world does a van pull up, side door opens, and tell someone to get in, and they get in? That's always shifty.
Right?
It's never your friends.
Don't you shouldn't you like parallel park and be like, hey, buddy, hey, are you ready to go? Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, exchange some sort of code words.
Right. Make out. Wait, that might just be me. So yeah, Rush goes to the warehouse and surprise, surprise, he wasn't lying, but they can't do what they planned on, which is, you know, save Rush immediately.
Yeah.
Because the Lucian Alliance has jammers.
What I don't understand is, like, why was there not more backup for Daniel? Like, obviously they couldn't be nearby, But, like, the fact that they can't get there before they can load 12 people into a spaceship.
Well, I mean, I was surprised there was backup at all, because I thought, I mean, if they're going to just send Daniel, and then he's going to have backup, then it's not that much of a fucking secret, is it?
Well, and that's exactly. Like, either he's the only one, and this is super secretive,
or
someone's actually listening. Like, if there's actually someone listening to Daniel, like, whatever his earpiece is connected to, like, then that person has to know where he is and what he's watching.
Right.
Also, why in the hell does Daniel Jackson have a gun?
Oh, yeah, no, it's, like, a huge gun, too.
He slides down a ladder, and he pulls out this, like, silenced handgun, and then goes, like, running out into the open like an action hero. And I'm like, yeah, Daniel, no.
I think they just wanted to have Daniel in there. I think they just wanted to, like, hey, guys, remember, this is Stargate.
Yeah, remember? We have Colonel O'Neill. We have Daniel Jackson. It's great.
Sam Carter, she's somewhere.
Yeah, she's around. She was in the intro.
Yeah, you're right. If only J. Shep was here.
We do get our clip of TJ after the baby shower.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's clearly hitting her pretty hard, and Chloe talks her through it, which is, it's a super cool, like, moment about human people doing human things on a weird spaceship. And, like, this is the show I want to be watching much more than Daniel Jackson Action Hero.
Right, but the show that most Stargate fans want to watch is the Daniel Jackson Action Hero, unfortunately. So. But I do, so that conversation between TJ and Chloe, I like quite a bit, because it actually confirms how we kept talking about how Chloe's strength is how adaptive and flexible she is. And basically she just looks at TJ and is like, it'll adapt. We'll adapt. There's no such thing as normal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, well, we do so many impossible things. Why is it impossible for this baby to be normal?
And she does, she brings up a point that, like, works for me every other time I watch the episode, and then on the alternating times, I'm like, that's weirdly selfish, which is that, like, so many people are going to care about this child and be there to help. And half the time I'm like, that's, you know, it should be comforting to TJ. And on the other hand, the person TJ is and the life that we've seen TJ living, I don't know that she can believe that or trust that. Like, she's had to do a lot of stuff on her own.
Right.
She knows that she doesn't really want Young in this kid's life. And if everybody else is involved, like, Young's going to get involved.
Right.
Yeah, so it's...
No, that's a good point.
It's weird. It's like, it's definitely Chloe trying to be comforting.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't work exactly how she wants it to. But that's also her being very much younger.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, it must be so weird to get advice from someone that much younger than you.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, they're probably, realistically, only about 3 or 4 years different in age.
Oh, man. So Young, oh, wow. Because that would mean that Young is significantly older than TJ.
I mean, I don't think TJ's that old. Like,
I thought maybe she was in her 30s.
Yeah, I assume she's, like, 23, 25. Because she's still in active military service for not that many years. And usually you'd enter at, like, 18, 19, 20, right?
I don't know. Is she commissioned or is she...
Well, she's a lieutenant, so...
So...
But that could be, like, through schooling and stuff.
I don't know. I mean, people can be in active duty a lot longer than you think.
Yeah.
Looking up at what her... I mean, we can go by the actress's age, but that's never a reliable...
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently I can't spell...
I mean, I definitely... I look at TJ and I feel like she's younger than me, and I don't know if that's just me.
That's funny, because I look at TJ and I think she's older than me.
Oh, okay. Well...
But she also is a very severe... haircut and style, and she's much more adult looking than I am.
Yeah, well, she's in a career where she can't express her individuality through her parents.
Right.
So,
I'm gonna look at Elena Huffman's age. She just has a more mature look to her. And even, like, she was born in 1980, so she's 5 years. You're right, she was 23, 24-ish.
Yeah, because this was quite a few years ago.
Wait, no, she was born in 1980. In 2010, she would have been 30.
Yes. Okay, so. Well.
But that's still, like, Young had to have been
that's
much
still,
older.
I mean, yeah.
Okay, this is going to be fun to fucking edit.
Anyway, so after our awesome TJ Chloe conversation, Bechdel test, incidentally.
Yeah, nice.
We have this, like, O'Neal Jackson Young play the Hardy Boys in Jack's office.
So bad, though. Young is like, don't do it.
And I'm just sitting here like, it's now been hours. Right. Young came through on the stones and sat here for hours.
Right.
Like, waiting for Rush to give himself away and instead getting him kidnapped.
Yeah.
Like, don't you have better shit to do?
By the way, what training does Rush... I know that Young points this out, but what training does Rush possibly have? Rush sent him on it because he wanted... I mean, sorry, Young sent him on it because he wanted Rush to die.
No, Young tried to go himself. See? But, of course, Rush wouldn't let that happen. Because Rush claimed he had, you know, other hints from the dream that he didn't know the meaning of yet.
Oh, that's true. Okay, never mind. I take it back.
Still. But still, yeah, like, Young was totally willing to authorize this completely unauthorized, probably gonna get Rush killed mission.
And then undermine it. Who knows? Like, maybe the fact that Daniel was there was, like, the real trigger. Maybe it wasn't the fact that he didn't say a code word.
Yeah. You know, maybe they had a ship there. Maybe they had life support detection. Like...
Right.
Anyway.
Anyways. Young wants to pull the prog.
Yeah, which he really should have done in the first place. Like, why they don't just go, okay... We know Telford's the mole, we're fucked now.
Right.
Like, and switch them back and leave Telford to his fate?
Yeah. I don't know. Because maybe they were afraid what information...
But no, they leave Rush there to fucking fix the dialing apparatus on a second Icarus planet.
Whoops.
What the shit, guys?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, then we have, like, the dual torture scenes.
Yeah... There's not a lot to be said about it. It says things about Young's character that I don't like.
Right.
And it is really meant, the torture scenes for Rush are really meant to make, you know, Kiva be a big bad evil.
Right.
And I'm not a particular fan of the, like, oh, yay, there's a big bad evil thing so that we don't have to feel bad about her dying. Right. And she's insane. And, you know...
Yeah, I thought that she wasn't really fleshed out well enough.
Why can't we just have another danger on the ship that's not being attacked by the freaking Lucian Alliance? But
well, no, I'm okay with the Lucian Alliance, but I just wish that she seemed a little less insane. Like, I think she has good enough reasons to do what she needs to do.
Yeah.
But somehow...
She's pretty two-dimensional, which is... It's especially stark... for a character in this show where so many people have so many different motivations and things going on, and she's just in charge and nuts and willing to kill and torture people.
Right. I think, like, the stuff that Rush told her to, like, make her not be suspicious should have given her some doubt, but instead she's just like, nope, I'm a torture bitch.
Yeah.
Like, when he was all like, I didn't feel like I could give the co-word because, you know, I was being followed and I'm not stupid. Like, wow, he really thinks on his feet. Like, he was good.
Yeah. No, he actually, for them pointing out, like, that he has no training.
Right.
He actually does really well for all the same reasons that, like, Rush is usually quite shifty.
Right.
Also, if we assume that he's, you know, faking an accent this whole time.
Right. Let's hope he is.
Yeah, but...
I'm not Telford. That's me doing a really awful Scottish accent. But yeah, that is totally willing. I don't know. It's all bad. Like, they're both willing to kill. So both Kiva and Young are willing to kill their quarries.
Yeah.
In order to kill the other person.
Which is, like, it's doubly bad that this is happening at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Because... Like,
oh, that's if I sense a fanfic.
If she actually killed Telford's body,
right?
Rush's consciousness would snap out.
Yeah.
And he would be back in a body that was also dying.
Yep.
Or vice versa.
And there's no way Young would believe that it was Rush again.
yeah. But okay, so we do get to this point where Young is in the best win-win situation ever.
Where he gets to punch Telford.
He gets to punch Rush in the face.
As Telford.
Because it's Telford. So he gets, like, absolutely no possible guilt trip from Rush. Because right. Rush would also punch Telford in the face.
I can't remember, but when they finally get to switch back, I really hope Rush, like, touches his face and was like, ow.
Yeah. I mean, because I assume he, well, it depends kind of what his pain transition is. Like, does his body just feel way better than Telford's horrible beat-up electricity-tortured body did?
I don't know. That's true, but I still think he would, that bruise on his face would probably suck.
Yeah, that's true. He would probably notice it later.
Yeah,
Young does a nice tackle and pin Telford to the ground, and Telford has some good mat work trying to get the advantage on Young.
This show has the least choreographed fights ever, and
I love it. They're all brawls.
They're just brawls.
Just, here, let me dive off of this hill at you, and then we'll roll around in the dust. Let me dive off of this crate at you, and we'll roll around on the ground.
God, I don't know, though. Like, I mean, Young, in the end, he was right about all the things that he's accusing Telford of.
Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
just, somehow Telford is still around in the next season.
Yeah, like, this whole time, he claims that he knew that Telford was brainwashed. Like, he had purposely killed him, not killed him, because he knew that was the only way to unbrainwash him, right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem believable with what he's doing to Telford right now.
Yeah, I think it's an excuse. In the same way that, you know, Telford goes and makes a bunch of excuses that keep him on at the SGC.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. This episode kind of confuses me. But action, Daniel.
Yeah, there's that.
Sorry, we kind of got mixed up, so I need to look at my notes.
The torture on Kiva's end ends when Rush admits that he's Rush.
Right. I like
and
that he has a
breaking
point. And
then she looks very, like, in awe at the value of the hostage they have captured.
Right. Like, she's like, no one would be that stupid.
As she should.
But I really like that they show that even Rush has a breaking point, because sometimes he almost seems too perfect.
Yeah.
Like, Rush never breaks.
Well, and you have to wonder, like, how bad must this torture be?
Compared to
the Nakai torture, which he was able to resist.
Oh, well, I don't know how much he was able to resist the Nakai stuff, because they seem to know stuff about the ship.
Well, but he talks about specifically, like, that he frustrated them.
Right.
He was able to hold up against them. They had him for days. Kiva's had him for minutes.
Right.
Hours, maybe?
It could also be that Rush just saw... No, the way he does it. I was going to say, maybe he just thought that there's futility in it. But the way he does it is like he seriously can't handle another jolt.
Yeah, he's definitely in that, like,
right,
you know, trauma state.
Please don't. And I mean, you know what? After you've been tortured once, I don't think being tortured again is an easy thing to go through.
Oh, no, definitely not.
I'm surprised he's not having, like, flashbacks or...
Well, and thank God there's not water.
That's true.
Because his trigger seems to be water.
We think.
For the Nakai stuff, at least.
We think.
Now he can't be around water or electricity. His life is going to be so great as a computer scientist.
He just has to float around and not touch anything.
Yeah.
So they make him start fixing the gate, and he gets Olin killed, doesn't he?
Yeah, so he, in an attempt to kind of, you know, get himself back on his feet as... being Rush,
yeah,
and to buy himself some time, he says, oh, well, almost all the work that's been done here is bullshit. I'm going to have to start over. And then she shoots the guy that did the work.
I love the tortured voice in which Rush says, I was just buying time.
Yeah.
But, like, I just don't understand the Lucian Alliance. If human life
either,
is that cheap.
Their whole argument, my understanding of their argument, is that, like, they're, you know, a tight-knit, like, family-type group of rebels that are trying to avenge, you know, their worlds that the SGC kind of, like, came in and made a mess of.
Right, yeah, but later on, Varro talks about how he was forced to join, and that's why he wanted to get out of it. So maybe they just don't know what the Lucian Alliance is, and when they need to make it evil, they make it evil, and when they don't, they don't.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe it's just an otherwise okay organization under this one dictator.
I don't know. I would prefer it if the Lucian Alliance just had different goals.
Yeah. You know?
Kind of like the,
And we never truly understand why they want to get to Destiny.
Like, no.
It's so far out. It's not going to find them new planets to colonize. It's not going to bring back the lives of their, you know, children or families or whatever.
It's not going to ring revenge down on anybody that far away.
Yeah, like, it's going to take you so far away from Earth's influence that, like, you can't possibly mess with Earth.
I mean, once they know a Destiny, like, I know originally they wanted it because they didn't know where that gate was going to, right? So they wanted to be the one that capitalized on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But after Telford brings them back the information of what the ship is, even at this point, Rush has no idea. So they don't know the importance of Destiny's mission. And the importance of Destiny's mission is irrelevant to what they're doing.
Yeah, well, unless they know something more about the mission than we do.
Maybe they want to ascend.
Maybe?
Then just work together with the fucking Stargate program.
Well, okay, they did have a Goa'uld ship, specifically. They mentioned that.
Yeah, but it's because they steal from the Goa'uld.
Oh, okay. What was I going to say? Because wasn't Anubis Goa'uld, and wasn't he doing experiments with Ascension and, like, weird fuckery? I don't know enough about SG-1. I'm bad at this
My
game.
Later SG-1 stuff is pretty sketch.
Yeah.
I just have not seen enough of it. I mean, I've seen enough to know what the general plot lines are. I don't know. I don't get the Lucians.
Yeah, we'll
especially
see
if you just watch SGU, right? All you know is just some bad force that exploded the Icarus flight plan.
And I legitimately don't know if it's something. Is it something that existed in SG-1, or was it made up as a villain for this series?
Yeah, it's an SG-1.
So yeah, maybe the part of the goal of Stargate Universe was to explore the Lucian Alliance more.
Right.
Which is interesting that they took us completely away from them for a big chunk of time.
Well, I mean, it's really interesting to me that they made the Lucian Alliance the enemies because they're so far away.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where, like, they could see the show and people that were being told, look, it's a Stargate, weren't liking it. And in order to try and save it, they were like, okay, here's a big end plot line that ties in all the Stargate stuff. See, we have plans. It makes it all very Stargate.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of do like the fact that there's an enemy that wants to get to Destiny, but it's just the reasons seem unclear. And maybe we've just forgotten what they are. Maybe they're said next episode and we just can't remember.
Well, the Nakai want Destiny too, but the Nakai are so alien.
Right. That we forgive that.
Yeah, that it's difficult to, like, even if they were communicating with them, they can't really tell a lot about what they want or why.
Yeah, so
back on Destiny, Rey tries to stand up to Young's ridiculous torture.
Right.
And he goes, okay, fine, you interrogate him.
Yeah.
And she's like, wait, what?
She's like, that's not the fucking point.
Yeah.
Telford gives them a dead-end gate, and he's like, you're surprised? Then he has a speech about, you know, the Lucian Alliance, which still doesn't make sense to me.
He goes, well, it's this proving that he's brainwashed thing,
right?
Like,
well, I think his idea is, I think it's kind of like the arguments about Iraq, right? Like, if we hadn't gone in and toppled Saddam Hussein, the problems that exist there wouldn't exist. So he's saying, because we toppled the Goa'uld, we caused the Lucian Alliance.
Yeah.
It doesn't follow in this case to me. Like, it does in Iraq, well, obviously, but
in a power vacuum, some new organization will appear.
And it was these humans
a lot of people who were used to being under a very dominating rule.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, I guess then it makes sense what Varro says about them taking over.
Yeah.
So basically, the Lucian Alliance is like ISIS.
Yeah. Like, not everybody wants them there, but enough people are willing to just go along with...
Right.
Yeah.
And they're probably pissed at the humans, like, going around and... I mean, sorry, the Terrans, the Tari, going around and kind of dictating how the universe should be run. When they're like, you aren't a part of this. Like, you are isolated for millennium.
And you've got to remember, a lot of the people that served the goal were actually, like, relatively happy doing it.
Yeah, I mean, if they were in a position of power of any form.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point. Anyways, that was a really long...
That was a long sidetrack.
of us trying to remember shit.
Back on Destiny, we get some of my favorite Jack O'Neill scenes of the series.
When he's upset about being a private? Who else was he going to be? There's only three lieutenants.
He comes through, exactly, right? He comes through and he's like, really? Also, Eli Volker and Brody are watching, like, via secret Kino. Right. Trying to figure out, like, who Young's gone and brought via the stones now and all that.
Yeah, so they're all being spy. Of course, Eli now wants to be all spy-y.
Well, yeah, and I think because he's with Brody and Volker, it's okay, right?
I don't get, though. Like, he's watching Young torture Telford.
No, he has not been seeing that.
Okay.
He's only seen O'Neill come in.
He sees Young try and suffocate Telford, and yet he's still hella Young camp.
He didn't. Only Greer and Scott were aware of that.
No, because when Brody's doing it, Eli's like, you're not going to do that, are you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. You're right, because Brody's venting the atmosphere.
Because Brody pushes Eli away.
Because if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Brody, right?
Yeah.
God.
I don't know why Brody does that.
Because he would rather be the one in control of that button.
Well, he'd rather take the... I mean, that's what I'm saying, like...
That's
what it is,
but he also would rather trust himself to keep Rush alive.
Right? Oh!
Live in Adam Brody's head for a second. Eli is on Young's side 95% of the time and panics in high-stress situations and fucks up.
Right.
Volker is an idiot.
Right. Like, Eli, like, almost got them killed during the coup.
If someone has to be responsible...
For Rush's life. You know, that's a good point.
Watching someone's reactions through a video and controlling timing on stuff like that, he'd rather it be him.
You're right. It had nothing to do with Young. Wow.
It had nothing to do with Young at all.
Good, good. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, he had to do it. He couldn't openly defy Young at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Because, I mean, there's no guarantee Rush is coming back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Also, I mean, they've never experimented like this before. Maybe if he gets the air low enough, the stones will snap Telford out automatically and they can get Rush back. Like,
I mean, that would follow, yeah.
So, you know, I'm sure he's got reasons.
Well, the end of it is just chilling, though, with, like, Telford yelling.
Yeah.
And Young just watching it. But he's watching Rush die, which is so much more disturbing to me.
Which is, yeah, it's weirder. He's getting this double win, right?
Right.
Like, he's showing Telford that he's the one in charge here, and that this is out in the middle of nowhere in martial law town. And he's getting to nearly kill Rush with complete impunity.
Yeah. I mean, O'Neill's there and okayed it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Ish.
Well, isn't O'Neill still there when they're doing it?
No.
Oh, no, that's right. They dismissed
O'Neill
the corporal.
O'Neill is there long enough to see Telford go totally, like, nutso and give his speech.
Yeah, and then he cuts the connection.
And then, once O'Neill has kind of gone, you know, okay, get what information you can, they cut O'Neill's connection, they send the corporal or whatever away.
I like how the corporal just takes it in stride, is like, okay, I am here now,
okay,
I will go.
Okay, I am here now, I will go away, sir, thank you. Well, he probably was told, like, you won't be here long, stay in. I mean, you're in Jack O'Neill's body. You're not allowed to go anywhere, do anything, right?
Right, right, yeah.
Like,
that's too dangerous.
It's too important.
Right. That's a good point.
So, yeah. Well, oh, God. Too much fucking torture in this episode.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts? Too much fucking torture?
Too much torture. Not enough explanation of why. Not enough, like, it took Rush so long to get the first Icarus Project working.
Right.
Like, it seems unbelievable. It seems unbelievable that he would be able to finish theirs in, like, 6 to 10 minutes. And, in all reality, like, it's only Telford's body.
Right.
What does he care if they kill Telford's body?
Right.
He doesn't know he's being tortured back on Destiny. As far as he knows, like, he's in a holding cell.
Wait, I thought when they killed Jin, I thought it killed both Jin and... Oh, that's because Amanda had no body to go back to? No, she did.
I thought it was a shock thing that, like, Amanda died because she, like... Because if her body gets overexcited or freaks out...
They killed Jin, and Amanda gets to stay in the body, right?
Oh, is it? Oh, God, that's all later. I don't even remember.
Oh, I can't remember. I remember that they were... No, they fought in Chloe's body. Never mind.
Oh, maybe.
That's right. No, they killed one... I don't remember if it was a shock. I just thought you kill one, you kill both. Because I remember during this whole show, they say, you kill him, you kill Rush.
Oh.
So I think that they both die.
Oh, yeah, no, because, you're right, because the scientists ran back to their bodies way back when Telford was trying to dial the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, no, we gotta bug out so that we're back home and we're safe. Okay, so he really just needs someone to cut the fucking connection.
Yeah.
Why aren't they?
Because they can't. That's what's insane. Rush is in a jamming, like, somewhere that jams the connection. But I feel like that should cut the connection. Like, if it's able to jam it, then it can't connect to Telford.
Yeah, why don't they just drop out of FTL? They know that that causes a hiccup.
Oh, good point.
Oh, wait, they don't have the master code. They don't have control yet.
That's true, they don't.
Never mind. Ho, ho, ho. Or rather, one of them does, but he's not around.
All right, well, maybe they did think out the communication stone stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's a good episode. It finally starts answering some questions, but it creates more. That's kind of what my final thoughts are on it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Lucian Alliance become pretty much, like, a non-entity in two more. Like, they've been the bogey. Well, and not even a great bogey, because they barely mention them for 18 episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know something suspicious with Telford. You know that they attacked in the first episode, but you don't hear them, like, all constantly going, like, oh, the Lucians are still trying to get to Destiny. Like, yeah, if you had, like, something like people using the communication stones getting kidnapped or something like that, at least that would, like, mid-episode.
Yeah.
Sorry, mid-season episode where that happened. Maybe on Earth. That would totally make more sense, narratively.
It's one of those things, right? We've already discussed how we feel like the writers are definitely rotating.
Yeah.
And maybe there's, you know, a core group of a couple of writers that the Lucian Alliance plot, you know, is important for.
Right.
And they came back for this chunk.
I don't know. It feels rushed here, honestly.
Yeah.
But I don't know what their season finale would be if it wasn't this. Because it is a hell of a season premiere the next season.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, you know, I rescind it. That's fine. What they did is fine. It's just that normally I would have a little bit more. Like, I don't want to, like, hit the audience over the head with something, but I would have just a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, even just a little bit more reference I mean, what they had to do was give us every mention of Lucian Alliance ever in the intro.
Yeah, and it was literally just, like, the first three episodes.
And it was like, yeah, Sam Carter and the attack on Icarus and then this attack that Young talks about during the episode.
And then Telford getting punched.
Like, they could have mentioned it a couple other times.
Like, on Earth, if they had mentioned it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Telford is honestly trying to get people back. Like, if there's, like, just some hint to him, the reason why he wanted people to come back so badly. It's because he wants an opportunity to get on the ship, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Still fun.
Craziness. I will say, like, there's two things toward the end that we sort of glossed over that I'm proud of. Matt is the one that went and got Rey.
Oh, yeah. He's like a little tattletale. God bless you.
And I am freaking proud of him.
Yeah.
Because that's not something that Matt of 10 episodes ago would have done.
No. You're right.
And it's the right thing.
I agree. I would love to see more of those two.
That there be, you know, another human being there to talk sense into Young.
Too bad Rey is the least likely to talk sense into Young.
And, yeah, the chaos of Volker and Eli worrying around Brody as he just focuses on the screen and the controls.
Yeah. No, Brody's control is chilling to me.
Yeah, he's... Oh, God. I really like him. He's a really good character.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I'm rewatching this and seeing the details.
You're glad you're watching with Brody goggles.
Of him, yeah. Putting on the Brody goggles. Because in, you know, in the world that I lived in, it's, you know, it was just Brody and Volker, and they are the other scientists.
Right.
And they are actually very distinct characters.
Right.
With very distinct personalities and priorities and everything else. And, yeah, that shouldn't be my takeaway from this episode, but that's my takeaway from this whole rewatching of the show. So, final thoughts?
I've said mine already.
Okay. Where can they find us?
They can find us at sgupodcast.tumblr.com. And if you want to talk to us personally, you can find me at boomslovingthealien.tumblr.com. And where can they find you, Cetra?
I am cetralyn.tumblr.com. Also, basically, any Cetra Lynn on the internet is probably me. So if you want some Prince of Tennis fan fiction, that's out there, too.
Alrighty.
And
okay.
Bye. Thank you, internet. Goodbye.
Stop.
Archived PDFs or anything, but
I think we should post that on the Tumblr.
Separate.
Yeah.